Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Isn't this beautiful? Butterflies are such amazing insects. Just look at his wings. They're so delicate and colorful. I'm out looking for insects today. Let's go see if we can find some others. Ooh, here we go.
Wow, that butterfly sure was fast. I really just wanted to get a closer look at him because insects are so different from you and me. And they live almost everywhere on Earth, so it's a good idea. Missed. It's a good idea to get to know them. You know, insects are really annoying when they bite or sting, but most of the time they're harmless. We've nicknamed insects bugs. Even though bugs are only one kind of insect, and there are thousands of them. Itching to get to know some? Well, then check them out in this book. It's called Bugs.
Bugs. By Nancy Winslow Parker and Joan Richards Wright. Illustrations by Nancy Winslow Parker.
Read by
Lori Delgado
and Edwin Maldonado Jr.
What did Sam find swimming in his apple cider?
A spider. You can find spiders in lots of places besides cider. This orb-weaving spider lives in the woods. Orb-weavers spin webs that are round. Then they wait for insects to fly into the web and get caught. That's how the spider gets its food.
This is what the orb-weaver looks like underneath. The color and markings help keep the spider camouflaged or hidden. Those little hands near its head are really mouthparts called pedipalps. The spider uses them to bring food to its mouth. This spider is licking his pedipalps.
There are lots of spiders who don't spin webs. They catch food by grabbing it. This crab spider sat on a flower until a bee came by. Then it pounced. What fluttered its wings as it flew by?
A dragonfly. Dragonflies and damselflies, like this green one, live in wet, swampy areas near lakes, rivers, and ponds. Dragonflies are long and thin and can fly very fast. They have two sets of wings, big eyes, and legs they use to cling to branches, catch mosquitoes, and clean themselves. That's what this pink dragonfly is doing right now. Why did the porch collapse one night?
Termites. The porch collapsed because termites had eaten the wood beams holding it up. Termites really like wood, so besides eating it, they live in it. They dig tunnels and carve out rooms big enough for a whole colony to live in. That's what these termites are doing right now. They're making a home. Whose shrill sound woke Ada?
A cicada! The loud buzzing Ada heard was a male cicada singing for a mate. He makes the sound by vibrating. And when a female cicada hears him, she wants to check him out. So they mate. Then the female lays eggs right into a tree. I really like insects.
Me too.
There are more insects in the world than any other kind of animal. But because they're so little, you can walk right through their neighborhood and never even see them. Insects love to hang out in places like this, this old log that's fallen across the path here. Let's see if we can catch some of the action in here. Whoa, look at this. You got some pill bugs here. They're the ones with the armor. These ones with the spots are lady beetles, you know, ladybugs. And what's this guy with all the legs? Well, let's see. Centipede. Yeah, that's what he is. It's a centipede. It says, centipedes like dark places and can be found under stones, or houses, or sometimes in houses. Most centipedes in North America are not dangerous. Well, that's good to know. Huh. You know, that's what I like about this book. It's a reference book, not a story, but a grab bag of information, so you just reach in whenever you want and pull out some new interesting fact. Let's see. Huh. Ants. Ants live in large groups called colonies. Most ants eat other insects. They live in deserts, houses, and gardens, under stones, decaying wood, in trees. Decaying wood. Yikes! Ants in my pants! Ants are pretty common, so you've probably run into a few. But have you ever seen a hissing cockroach? Hissing cockroaches?
That's right, LeVar. Did you know there are 5,000 different species of cockroaches in the world?
We're here at Insect World at the Cincinnati Zoo, and this is Thane Maynard, and some of his best friends are insects. Now, Thane, why would a cockroach want to hiss?
To tell you the truth, they're trying to scare away birds who might want to eat them. You know, insects don't breathe through their mouths. They breathe through their abdomens, and by forcing air out, going it gives them a split-second chance.
So it's a defense mechanism.
Absolutely.
Can I, is it right to
sure.
touch this? I never thought I'd be touching a cockroach. You know, I don't know what I thought it would feel like, but somehow it's not as slimy or disgusting as I thought touching a roach would be.
A lot of people think of roaches as bad guys, but they are not. They're essential.
Now, where is this particular hissing cockroach from?
These come from the island of Madagascar, the big island off the coast of East Africa. They get bigger than this, LeVar. They're bigger than the ones we're used to.
So this is actually related to the roach that we sometimes find in the kitchen.
Absolutely. Even though there are thousands of different types, from the very small to the very large, all the roaches are closely related to one another.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a lot to see here at Insect World, so what else are you going to show us today, Thane?
Well, we've got hundreds of different species, actually from the very big, like this, the biggest of beetles, the Royal Goliath beetle from Central Africa.
The Royal Goliath beetle.
That's right, to the very small, like these baby grasshoppers. These are American lubbers. Eventually, they'll be 3 or 4 inches long, but you can see they're fairly small now.
Now, technically, Thane, are these bugs or insects?
Well, these are both insects, and that's a confusing thing to many people, because all bugs are insects, but not all insects are bugs.
Do you have an example of a true bug here?
I sure do, and it's quite an example. This is the largest blood-sucking insect in the world. It's the cousin of our bed bug. You know the old saying, sleep tight,
don't let the bed bugs bite. Right.
Well, this one has a great big piercing snout, and it also drinks blood, but they get to be 3 inches long.
So it's not a good idea for me to touch this one.
That's right, LeVar. You know, with insects, it's a good rule of thumb that if you don't know what it is, you shouldn't pick it up.
I'll go along with that rule any day. In fact, I think I'll just back up from this guy altogether.
That's right. Well, but watch where you're going.
What do you mean?
Well, you might not see them, but here at Insect World, they're everywhere.
You mean there are insects in this bush?
Right on here. But don't worry, even an entomologist couldn't spot these guys.
An entomologist, that's a person who studies bugs, right?
That's right. And they can't see these because of camouflage.
Well, where are they?
Well, here's one right here. It's called a walking leaf. How about that?
Wow.
So well camouflaged that when you just look, you can't even see it. Just like leaves, it's dark on one side and light on the other. They don't bite, they only bite leaves.
This is the best camouflage job I've ever seen.
That's a Javanese walking leaf. It is an insect, as you can see, because it's got 6 legs and an antenna and a pair of wings.
But it looks and feels just like a leaf.
It sure does, and it's a great way to keep birds away from trying to eat them since, well, we couldn't even see it when we were standing right next to it.
That's really remarkable. Are there any other insects
well,
in this tree?
There are. We ought to look for them. Let's see. Here's a walking stick. This is called a giant walking stick. Now, you might have seen some in your backyard, but these get to be 16 inches long. They come from tropical Malaysia. They live in the rainforest where it's green all year, so they are green as well. They're called a walking stick, but I think of them as a walking green bean. Aren't they amazing? Those long legs sometimes get to be 8 inches long.
Now, Thane, what about this guy? Looks like he's doing everything he can to attract attention.
Absolutely. You know, LeVar, this one doesn't really want to stay hidden. That brightly colored pattern on a scarab beetle, frankly, it's there because they can get away with it. They usually don't attract predators because they can outfly them in order to get loose.
You know, Thane, of all the insects I've seen here today, this guy is my favorite.
They're wonderful little insects.
They really are. And you know, I don't understand why insects have gotten such a bad rap from human beings.
I think part of it might be that people are a little bit unfamiliar with the world that insects occupy. There's so many different kinds, we don't know what to make of them.
Yeah. But you know, if I were one of these guys, I'd be more afraid of us than we are of them. I mean, we're so much bigger than they are.
That's for sure.
Thane, this has been great. I really want to thank you for sharing your time and some of your friends with us.
It's been fun.
Thank you.
There really is no magic in nature, but there is mystery and wonder. And this little guy's life is full of it. It starts out as a very hungry caterpillar. Then it forms a chrysalis. And though you might think the caterpillar's in there napping, what it's really doing is changing into a butterfly. Now that's pretty spectacular, but it's only the beginning, because that butterfly is a monarch. And when winter comes, it'll do something no other insect does. It'll fly thousands of miles to its own corner of the world, up in the mountains in Mexico. There, it might chance to meet a scientist who loves butterflies, Dr. Lincoln Brower.
Just as you're all getting ready to go back to school, the monarchs are starting their wonderful southward migration to a place they have never been to before, to these beautiful Sierra Campanario Mountains. These are magical, mystical mountains that stick out of a volcanic plain. And the monarchs have probably been coming here for at least a million years, and maybe more. Each year for the last 7 years, I've come down here to Mexico, and I can hardly wait to get here. It's such a wonderful mystery to think about what we can find out next about these butterflies. Why do they come to this site? Why do they come here and all cluster by the hundreds of thousands and millions of butterflies? The way scientists discovered this place was by tagging butterflies in the north and following them down through the United States to Mexico. Monarchs migrate south because when the winter comes up north, all their food plants die. And now we're tagging them to find out where they go back to in the spring. And the way that you do this is to very gently handle a butterfly and rub the scales off its front wing. You have to do this very, very carefully. This does not hurt the butterfly at all. And after you get it cleaned off, then the little tag will stick to it. So I just take a tag and I note its number down, and I then gently fold it over. This is the hardest part. You gently fold it over the wing, being very, very careful not to hurt that front vein. These tagged butterflies are really valuable. And if you find one, you can help us immensely. Read the directions and do what they say. This butterfly arrived here in November, and during almost the entire winter, they don't eat a thing. All they can do is drink water. And so they have to sustain themselves on the fat reserves that are inside their fat little tummies that you can see here. Now look at this mouth. It's not like your mouth at all. Pulls out is a long tube like a straw. And when it lands on the flower or when it's drinking water, it rolls that out with tiny muscles inside there that make it possible to do this. And it sticks that proboscis into the flower and sucks up the nectar, just like you drink up a milkshake with a straw. The butterfly's thorax has six legs attached to it, and they're clinging onto my finger now. And you can see on the very tips these little claws. Now, and actually, they hold onto you. It tickles. They don't hurt at all. And if I were to grasp this leg and pull it just ever so slightly, it would break off. And then the butterfly wouldn't be able to taste nectar in its flowers because the taste buds are actually in the tips of their little toes. Butterfly has four wings, two big front wings and two beautiful big hind wings. You can see these big forewings have white spots on them, and those are very important for the butterflies to be able to find each other, and particularly when they're migrating, because they can see these white spots as the butterflies are rapidly flapping their wings through the sky. When the butterflies are in their clusters, they're sound asleep. And they really look just like dead leaves. Sometimes the cluster of monarchs is close enough to the ground so you can really see closely into it. The butterflies are all lined up in rows, and they're hanging on to the needles of the fir trees, and you can look at their little claws hanging on to the needles and to each other. It's the most beautiful structure. Now, let's let this butterfly go. But before I do, because it's pretty cold out, I'll have to warm it up a little bit. And here's how you do that without hurting them. What this is doing is warming the muscles inside the thorax. Now he should be ready to fly off. Sometimes when I walk through the forest, it's as if I'm in a symphony hall, but instead of hearing the music, I'm actually seeing it. Able to get here to see the butterflies high up in the mountains in Mexico. But when you go out and the next time you look at any butterfly, look at its wings and start thinking about it. The wings of a butterfly are like a treasure trove of books. There are hundreds of stories to be told by reading them very carefully.
Well, the monarch certainly has stories to tell. But then so do all the other insects in the world. So if you've gone buggy over insects, then here are some books that'll really raise your antennae. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Jenny Tarr. If you're interested in bugs like I am, I would read this book. It's called Backyard Insects. The best part of the book is a chapter on hidden insects. Some insects are camouflaged. That means they're hidden by their colors. You may think you're looking at a spike of grass, but it's really a hairy caterpillar. There's some unusual insects too, like the hickory horned devil and the spittle bug. The spittle bug looks like it's taking a bubble bath. I like caterpillars because they tickle my hand and they turn into beautiful butterflies. Find your favorite bug in this book, Backyard Insects.
Have you ever seen a real live ladybug? There's lots of them in this book called Ladybug. I always thought ladybugs looked the same their whole lives, but I was wrong. This book tells the whole life story of a ladybug. First there's larva, then pupa, and finally, a grown-up ladybug. There's a picture showing a ladybug eating an aphid. It's kind of gross. But everything in nature has to eat something. I'm Aiko Clark. I think you should look in any garden or park and try to find your own ladybug. Good luck.
Hello, all you kids in the cities and towns of America. You don't know me, but I'm Brian Gardner, and I just read this outrageous book called Ant Cities. You've got to get it. Ants are very fascinating creatures. We see them all the time, but we never know they're working so hard. There are many different kinds of ants, but the most interesting ant to me is the thief ant. One time I left my lunch on the ground, and a bunch of thief ants came and took it away. Ants can lift 50 times the amount of their weight. Can you imagine that kind of strength? I thought Ant Cities was a neat book. It made me want to try being an ant for a day. My advice to you, ant cities. Don't leave home without it.
Here's another great book to take on an insect hunt. It's called The Bug Book, and it comes with its own bug bottle. Or you can make one yourself. Just be certain to punch some holes in the top so your guests will have plenty of air, and be sure to give them some food and water. Now, no matter where you live, your closest neighbors are probably insects. So go out and introduce yourself to some. You may not always find the butterfly of your dreams, but you'll surely not come home empty-handed. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Bugs by Nancy Winslow Parker and Joan Richards Wright, illustrated by Nancy Winslow Parker, published by Green Willow Books. Backyard Insects by Millicent E. Selsom and Ronald Gore, photos by Ronald Gore, published by Four Winds Press. Ladybug by Barry Watts, a stopwatch book published by Silver Burdett Press, a Simon & Schuster imprint. Ant Cities by Arthur Doros, published by Thomas Y. Crowell. The Bug Book and the Bug Bottle by Dr. Hugh Danks, illustrated by Joe Wiseman, a Somerville House book published by Workman Publishing.